This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Health and wellness on Joy Drive.
Fermented foods have become so popular in recent years, and here to tell us all about what we need to know about them and their perceived health benefits is Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia. Evangeline, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Just for those who don't know, what are fermented foods?
Yeah, look, this is an interesting group of foods, and they're made by using either bacteria or yeast, and what they do is they ferment part of the food to form essentially a new food. So many of the listeners would have eaten them. Yogurt, cheese are fermented foods, as is wine and beer. But some of the more unusual ones are things like kefir and kombucha and kimchi.
I feel like there's been an increase in the amount of or the availability of fermented foods, particularly recently. I know I buy these yummy, they're cucumbers and they're sliced up and they're fermented. I can eat the whole jar in one hit. There's so many things.
Yeah, there are a lot more on the market. And I guess as people are becoming more aware of them and as we're getting, different cultural foods coming into our diet, they are becoming much more prominent.
Now, what is it about fermented foods? Are they considered a prebiotic, a probiotic, or what sort of label do we give them?
Well, they can be both. They can supply us with the bacteria, of course, which is really useful, and the bacteria that can be in those foods are the ones that are healthy for our body. But some of them, such as your cucumber and other pickles and kimchi, which is fermented cabbage, they're all going to give us fiber as well. So they give us both of them, which is really important. But the other thing that happens is as the bacteria or yeast are fermenting, they also cause reactions to other nutrients that are in food, and they convert them to new nutrients, which may not be available in any type of other food. So that's why we always talk about having variety in your diet. And the variety should include having fermented foods in there.
Okay, so really, if we're not having a fermented food of any kind whatsoever, it is something that we should consider having on a daily basis.
Well, yeah. I mean, as often as you can have it. I'm not going to say daily.
So I won't eat a jar.
You'd want to have it, throughout the week, 2-3 times during the week. And yogurt and cheese are the really obvious, easy ones. Mm. And they're probably a lot cheaper than some of the other fermented foods that are out there, such as kimchi and sauerkraut and all those other things.
How yummy is kimchi, though?
Oh, they're all yummy, aren't they? But you're right, you can't have too much of that stuff because it can cause a bit of a
reaction. What I found is when I've bought a new fermented food is I just have a little bit the first time, as tempted as I am to eat the whole jar. And then the next time I might have just a little bit more and slowly build up to it so that my tummy gets used to it. I have no scientific data about whether that's the right way to introduce them, but it seems to work well with me.
Yes. Look, so I once ate a lot of one and, paid the price for it. So I think your approach is probably very wise, Warren.
Now, Evangeline, here on Joy Drive, we like to stick to facts. So what does the evidence say in terms of the benefits of fermented foods?
Yeah, look, lots of people are interested in what can it do for us, and it certainly provides us with antioxidants and the microbes. But one research group wanted to see if it could impact on weight loss. And, weight's a big problem across the world. And so what they did was they looked, and this study was done in South Korea where they do eat a lot of fermented food, particularly kimchi. And they looked at a huge number of people, over 100,000 people, and they looked at what they ate over the last year and then looked at how much weight they carried. And they found some interesting stuff. But before I go into it, we've got to remember this is what we call an observational study. And that is they didn't change anything. They just observed the people. And you can't say with these sorts of studies that A caused B. So we can't say with this fermented food causes weight loss. All we can say is it may, and it gives us a clue as to what could be happening. So what did they find? Those people that ate 1-3 serves of any type of kimchi, and they have lots of different ones there, like, cabbage and radish kimchi, that those ate 1-3 serves a day, had lower levels of obesity and abdominal obesity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But when they ate five or more serves a day, they actually were more likely to be more obese. So it's sort of not a surprising finding because, of course, there's still kilojoules associated with these foods. So, you know, you have to maintain that balanced approach in your diet when you're not eating a lot, certainly not a whole jar, and then seeing, you know, and mixing it up with all sorts of other foods, because whilst these foods are going to be good, you don't want to solely have these and displace all the other types of foods in your diet.
I tell you what, these cucumber things are really nice in a toasted sandwich. I'll tell you that. But eventually, something that I'm really interested in that you spoke about earlier is that it, because of the fermentation process with the yeast, it makes available other vitamins or nutrients that we may not necessarily get. Is that a bit like when we spoke last year, and I think you were talking about cooking the onion in the olive oil and it creates a bit of a, or the garlic and onion in the olive oil and it creates a bit of a chemical process? Is that, or when we put all those vegetables together in a dish and cook them, it creates other nutrients?
Well, that's different.
Right.
Because when you heat foods, it releases more of a particular nutrient. And the classic example there is tomato. So when we cook tomato with oil and we heat it, it allows the lycopene to come out. And lycopene is a phytonutrient that's really good for reducing the risk of heart disease and prostate cancer and also possibly other cancers. And that's why we say, you know, as well as variety with the types of food, the variety in the way that you cook them is also important.
So so fermented foods are something that we add to create that diversity in food that we eat. Is that right?
That's right. The more you can eat, the more variation you can have, the better off you are. So, you know, hot, well, heated, cold, fermented, non-fermented, because remember, when you ferment the vegetable, you lose that nutrient that wasn't in it originally. It gets converted to something else. That original nutrient can still be valuable. Ideally, you want both. And so that's why it's important to have that variety and have both of them in your diet. So fresh cucumbers are good, or raw cucumbers, sorry, as are fermented cucumbers.
Now, you mentioned that the study was observational. Have there been any experimental trials or anything like that?
Yeah, look, there have been some, and they've all showed a little bit of weight loss and drops in the percentage of body fat, or they've shown some drops in the hormones associated with satiety. But often they've been really, they've shown drops in the satiety hormones, so those things that make you feel full when you eat. Some of them have said they feel changes in appetite, but some of them haven't actually reported weight in their studies, which is a little bit funny, because if that's what you were looking to do, you would report weight. So there's a bit of concern that maybe they didn't report that because they didn't see any weight loss. So all the evidence at the moment is fairly preliminary that it may affect weight. It certainly affects all the other factors around it. You know, my advice would be, look, if you enjoy eating them,
which
you should
we do,
include them in your diet. Yeah. If you don't enjoy eating them and you find them quite difficult to eat, you're not going to have a major problem in not eating these types of fermented foods, although you do want to eat some of those other types of fermented food. And cheese and yogurt are great. And in fact, studies have shown that people that have yogurt, which is fermented milk, may have a lower risk of getting diabetes. So there's good evidence that you need to include fermented foods. And if you enjoy them, eat them.
I like that. I'm going to have my cucumbers tonight. Now, are there any downsides, though? There must be some negative thing about eating too many fermented foods.
Well, it may affect your you know, bowel habits. So that's one problem. So you should see how you go and test the waters as you do. And the other thing is that some of these are really high in salt, such as particularly as kimchi and sauerkraut. So if you have high blood pressure, you need to be a bit more careful about these as well. But it's not all fermented foods that are high in salt. So yogurt, for example, isn't. You know, so you can still continue having other fermented foods. But those sort of pickled type are high in salt. And that's because it helps regulate the bacterial growth, the bad bacterial growth in them.
Evangeline, one question for you. So when we go to the supermarket and, you know, you've got all these pickled vegetables and things that are available, a lot of them have gone through that pasteurisation process. And then you can go to other, you know, the refrigerated section and you might get something that says it's got more live bacteria in it. Is one of them better than the other, or does the sort of sealed supermarket stuff still have the same benefit?
Yeah, look, generally, if it's not refrigerated, it's not going to have the live bacteria in it.
Right.
You're still going to get the other benefits of the other new nutrients, but not the live bacteria being in it. Having said that, the ones that are in the refrigerated section with the live bacteria are considerably more expensive. Whilst we might say, look, they're better to eat, a lot of people won't be able to afford them because some of those jars are about $10-$15 a jar compared to your pickles, which might be, you know, $3-$5. So long as you have some fermented food in there, I keep going back to yogurt and cheese, don't I? Which are a little bit cheaper, that's going to be fine.
I love it. And also, if you can afford the more expensive one, you can always have less of it. It forces you to eat a little bit less.
That's right.
So we don't overdo it. You don't need to run to the toilet straight afterwards.
Yeah.
I love it, Evangeline. Great information. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Have a good week.
We'll catch you next fortnight. That's Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia. Evangeline is also an accredited practicing dietitian and a sports dietitian. I tell you what, I can't wait to get home and put these pickles on a toasted sandwich.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.